that was a UFO beaming back at you. No, they've been coming here ever since 1946, and they have been living and working among us in vast quantities ever since. The government knows all about them. These leaders have decided to repress this information because of the tremendous shock that it would cause to our antiquated system.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
You're listening to Nick of Time, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. Brought to you by Lineup Media Group.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. The air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do and there's no end to it.
The whole truth about JFK, 9/11, Area 51, the Illuminati, the moon landings, Jesus and Magdalene, the CIA, KGB, and AIDS, the reptilian elite, Watergate, the New World Order, Bilderberg, the MKUltra Project, the history of the world and the oppression of the human consciousness, and the truth about God, the devil, heaven, hell, and the delicate fabric of the universe.
You've got to say, I am as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Welcome to Nick of Time Podcast, a Lineup Media Group production, brought to you this week and every week by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/Nick of Time, get a 30-day free trial and free audiobook download. I would love one. And if you're looking to do any shopping on Amazon, please visit our website, nickoftimepodcast.com. And click the Amazon banner, because any purchases that you make during your shopping sessions...
Damn.
Fuck, I can't talk today. Any purchases you make during your session will directly support our show. Finally, I got through that. How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
I'm doing great.
You got your tongue in your mouth yet?
Yeah, really, really. All right, we are back with part two of The Consciousness and the Pineal
Consciousness.
Gland. All right, what do you say,
I'm barely
Alex?
Conscious of this episode.
Everett, how are you guys doing today?
This consciousness
doing great,
is just,
man.
It's too big. It's too big to cover in one episode.
Right. We had to do part two on it. We had to. There was just too much information left.
There's so much unknowns, too. Science can barely even study it. They're not even sure what a consciousness is.
But yeah. They haven't formed a good theory on it yet. No, I've looked for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I guess let's start back with the pineal gland. So as if you heard last time, the... conspiracy is that they're trying to calcify the pineal gland so that the general population won't reach a higher level of consciousness, because when you reach the higher level of consciousness, you basically don't have any need for a government or anything like that anymore.
You think that's happened to the majority of the conspiracy folk out there, conspiracy believing crowd?
They just reached a higher level of consciousness.
Yeah, maybe they've
the critical thinkers.
Well,
the calcium
if
off.
They just went to the baking soda toothpaste and bottled water only, it might be easier for them. Because
right.
It seems like fluoride.
Is that what's happened to you guys? Have you guys had your calcium knocked off?
I mean, I have been drinking distilled water.
I make sure to drink 8 glasses of fluoride water every day just so I don't
stick out. So you're getting calcified.
Right. I don't want to stick out like a sore thumb.
Gotcha.
We've been chewing on toothpaste, you know, the whole tube.
Well, it looks like the first, I guess, mention of using fluoride to control any sort of population would have been, well, the Jews. Whenever Nazi Germany took over Poland, they would take large amounts of fluoride and poison the Jews with it.
In the concentration camps?
Right, so that they wouldn't be willing or want to even fight back. It pretty well put them in a...
I believe the word was docile they used. It made for a docile prisoner.
Turn them into cows. That's horrible.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than having to fight starving people the whole time whenever they just roll over and take it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so I read that same thing, Alex, that they put the fluoride in the water in the concentration camps so that there was no uprising. They couldn't revolt.
Right.
You know,
well,
more
in
docile.
The late 90s, the scientist Jennifer Luke conducted a study that first found the effects of sodium fluoride on the pineal gland, and she determined that the pineal gland was becoming calcified with the fluoride, and that's where this whole conspiracy came about.
Wow. So that's like that's enough fluorides in your water, as we talked about last week. It, you know, 70% of the country's water supply is fluoridated. It's in artificial sweeteners, sodas, any manufactured food that has it.
If you ever notice, a lot of wealthier neighborhoods or well-to-do counties, they will ban fluoride in their water. And that's not for any bad reason. It's because they believe fluoride to be bad.
Yeah. And I mean, there's something to it. You know, if you drink an 8-ounce glass of water, you're ingesting the same amount of fluoride as a pea-sized
toothpaste
on your toothbrush. Yeah. But what does it say on the back of a toothpaste bottle? If you ingest this, you call poison control. Okay. But if you're thirsty, you can just go and drink 8 ounces of water and it's the same amount of fluoride.
Right.
And now, I know Everett's going to say it's different fluoride, but... It's fluoride. Sodium fluoride is still the same.
Well, my father-in-law runs a water treatment plant, and whenever they have to handle the sodium fluoride, they have to have full rubber suits, and if there's a spill, it's a
right. Well,
hazmat
it is
cleanup.
Considered a hazardous waste.
I believe it's a neurotoxin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's very nuts, man, that they put that in our water. Why would they do that?
Well,
to
be fair, anything in high enough concentration is poison. You could take enough Advil to kill you easy.
But is it worth putting a neurotoxin in our water supply just to make sure everybody's got good teeth? I mean, honestly, does the government care about our teeth that much? They don't give a fuck about us any other
time. Good teeth keep you alive.
I don't know. I've seen some studies saying fluoride doesn't even help your teeth. I guess it depends on who you want to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe they might have
the big dental conspiracy.
So what you're saying is, I mean,
4 out of 5 doctors are wrong.
Uh-huh. The ADA is a government agency, so
I'm not closing any doors, is what I'm going to say.
Oh boy.
I like to call them the powers that be, if you will, the Illuminati. Just as a general term, I use Illuminati for any large covert group that's controlling populations.
I like it.
Whether it's them or not, they pretty well fit the bill every time. So. Illuminati just holding the population down for their own gains makes the most sense to me.
Yeah,
because with the world population exploding like it is, you can't have that many people stay calm without some sort of sedative.
Obviously, and yeah, like you said, and it's actually serving multiple purposes because it's a sedative and it's calcifying the pineal gland, which they don't want you to think freely. They don't want you to, you know, revolt. So fluoride was like the miracle drug for them. They're like, yeah, hell yeah, let's throw this shit in the water supply. Everybody will be calm. They'll be stupid. This is what we want.
In the late 60s when they had the counterculture revolt, there was riots. There were shootings at the Democratic National Convention. I mean, because everybody... quit buying into the government's bull, and they started expanding their consciousness using different types of drugs.
Different types of drugs being?
Well, psychedelics, namely from acid to mushrooms.
I was
going
to say, I've smoked some pot before. And
mescaline, yeah.
I didn't get any consciousness raising from smoking pot, but...
Yeah, I just got hungry.
You didn't smoke enough, I don't think.
Oh, okay, well, that is. Apparently DMT is made in your pineal gland, and Alex, I know you had something you wanted to say about that.
It's controversial. There's one doctor, he claims to have made a link to DMT and your pineal gland. And in his studies, he found that anytime he would give people DMT, they would come across as like a spiritual, or they would lose total sense of themselves and move on to a higher level consciousness. And almost all of them reported of effects like they died. They were almost certain they were dead and they had moved on.
So they dropped this reality and moved on to the next.
Right. Well, and then in, I believe it was 96, they found a DMT was produced in the pineal glands of rodents. So he linked the two together and says, okay, well, your pineal gland must create DMT as some sort of defense against death. So whenever you see your own demise coming, it sends you into a hallucinogenic state where you might see a light at the end of the tunnel or your savior to come save you.
That's an interesting theory for all like the near-death experiences. Is that what you're talking about?
That's like a real good guy Greg type of gland, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, you're about to die.
Thanks, man.
Let me hook you up. Shoot you with...
And one last stoning for you.
And if no this shit.
Pineal gland has this kind of power to, I guess, reach out outside your body, I believe... When people have severe psychedelic experiences with others, they can report...
Like astral projection?
Like communicating nonverbally with each other just because they're all on the same level. I don't know if it has to do...
on the same plane.
With maybe the same brain frequencies they're running on.
Right, that very well could be.
But there's many levels of consciousness, and I think you got a list of some of them here, right?
Yes, I do. There's quite a few levels of consciousness. We came across a list, and it was on, let me find the website here, openmind.com. And it was 10 individual levels of consciousness. And it was written by Mariah Starr. Oh, well, that sounds kind of funny.
Sounds like a porno name.
Yeah, it does, don't it? Mariah Starr.
I think I saw her twice.
Anyway, so there's 10 levels of consciousness between identifying or internalizing your environment or choosing to transform from within by heart. The first level of consciousness, you identify completely with your environment, whether you're rich or poor, peaceful or warlike or cruel or loving.
You become at one with your environment? Is that what you're saying?
No, no. You just identify with your outside reality. So this is the level one consciousness is, well, bare bones, the most basic. You even, just identify with what you see.
Even with plants, whatever environment they're in determines how they're going to grow. Just like people, if you live in a terrible, poor-ridden neighborhood, sure, you're going to grow up worse than a well-to-do person. Your environment influences you greatly.
It's common knowledge, common sense as well. What's number two?
Number two.
Shuffles.
Yep, shuffles. Okay, no, well, there's still a lot more with level one. Okay, so if you grow up with parents who physically, sexually, or emotionally abuse you, you turn to abuse others when you're at the first level of consciousness. Is what's saying is, like, you don't have the willpower or the, I don't really know what the word would be, but you don't have the, you can't overcome that abuse.
So it seems
to be
like
a better person.
I say objection on that.
At the first level of consciousness, you're supposed to be like the most plain Jane human that there is. Well, you got no special abilities.
That's the kicker. At the first level of consciousness, your environment forms you, not the other way around.
Oh, okay. I like how you explained that. That's very nice. Okay, and also, likewise, at the first level of consciousness, if you grow up with parents and friends who give you love, support, and affection, you're going to give lots of love, support, and affection to others. But you'll have no original thoughts or creativity inside you because you are a complete reflection of your community. So the first level of consciousness, you cannot adapt or change your environment.
I think I might be first level.
To operate under different principles, thus you become limited. Yes, Pigpen Everett, you are limited in your thinking.
And the more I drink, the lower level I get, I'm pretty sure.
The more I drink. Okay, so and after that, so you'll begin to enter the second level of consciousness when you realize that the physical and social reality that you have internalized is not real. So the second level of consciousness, you're surprised by your attraction to being alone. So you can think instead of being around people. You identify with your physical environment about 90% and become aware that you have an internal environment as well. So anybody got any thoughts on that?
So you are not a product of your environment. Well, mostly you are, but you can finally realize that that isn't the only thing that is used where you're
at. That sounds more like me. I think I'll go fifth level.
So, no, we're at the second level. That's his math.
He's jumping
in.
Oh,
again.
That's right. My math. That's his math hindering. It's kind of an ongoing gag.
Okay, so at the second level, you're surprised by the fact that money and shopping and all the materialistic bullshit, they're no longer giving you thrills now. So you're not excited by the normal materialistic crap. You find yourself attracted to books about people instead of books about things. You want to learn about self. This is all internalized. You know what I mean? So you're shocked to realize that if you lost your job today and the money that goes with it, that's okay. So you're not thinking at the same line that normal people are thinking of. You know, got to have your job, got to go to work, got to make the money, got to survive. You're going on to something bigger and better. You realize that sex is not love, money and power are not influence, and your job is not who you really are.
So I wonder if you can get to higher level consciousness by, decalcifying your pineal gland. It seems like if you're completely under the fluoride comatose, you're at first level consciousness.
Yeah, that's what it would be. First level consciousness with a calcified pineal gland. You don't know shit. You can't do shit. Drum around all day.
All the problems were outside of you.
Is it possible to be a hybrid of levels?
Oh, yeah. There's, 10 varying levels of consciousness?
I mean, I guess I said, suppose you could
Are
just
pick
what you
Are you guys
familiar
with, like, Jungian archetypes of personality?
I'm sorry?
Like, Jungian archetypes, like, or like the INTP, for instance. Like, you guys, let me find out, like, personality.
I am missing totally what you're getting
at. Jungian.
Are you, like, alpha males?
Jungian theory. Hold on.
Okay, yeah, I've not even
Jung's
heard
of theory of neurosis is based on the premise of a self-regulating psyche composed of tensions between opposing attitudes of the ego and the unconscious. A neurosis is significant unresolved tension between these continued. Okay, that's just
kind of like you're an introvert consciously, but subconsciously you're an extrovert.
Right, it's a way to completely gauge your where you sit on the personality standards and scale.
Okay.
And I guess, I don't know, it has a little bit to do with this, but Jung did a lot of consciousness and thought stuff. You should look into Jung, Carl Jung.
Carl Jung?
That's J-U-N-G.
Oh, yeah, Jung?
Yes.
Okay, so when you make the transition from the second level of consciousness to the third level, you decide to take time to develop your mind and your heart. You identify with your physical environment at about 80%. You start to feel and think for yourself. You become very sensitive to the energies in your body, your heart, and your mind. So that you're cultivating all the energies. You're probably doing more meditations. You know, learning about.
You're taking time to listen to your own heartbeat.
There you go. I like how you explain that. You allow yourself to cry, to feel joy, to experience pain, to entertain strange thoughts, and see all life's beauty. You start developing your artistic sensibilities. Your empathy becomes really pronounced. You begin to put your time and energy in exploring different sensations of life. Just not just what you eat, not what you wear, not what you watch on TV. You know what I mean? The third level, it's trying to shift you from merely being a colleague at work and a neighbor to being like a true friend. You know what I mean? It's making you a better person, essentially, is what it's saying.
It seems like the higher we're getting up on these levels, the more you're being integrated into the people and community around you.
Sounds like a bunch of nosy isolated. People to
well,
me.
Well, the way I'm getting it is the higher we're getting at these levels of consciousness, the more abilities you'll have, the better person, the more thought-oriented, you know, the more spiritual you'll be, actually, the more spiritual you'll be. And me as a person, I'm not, I don't believe in religion or anything like that, but this kind of spoke to me a little bit because... the consciousness shift is—it's crazy because to think, you know, like you could become spiritual like Jesus or God, or you know, the theory of Jesus and God, how everyone thought they were, you know, speak it into existence and it happened. They were that powerful.
Yeah, the word of God. Yeah.
So this is a level of consciousness in here. So right now we're at the fourth level. So you can change your thoughts and emotions to match who you want to be. You practice being mindful and attentive.
Oh, so when you see yourself getting angry, you think about it before you get angry and say, oh, that's not a good reason.
You can actually change things,
yeah. So you keep yourself from being a complete asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Keep habits that are good. Remove habits that are bad. You don't judge yourself. You avoid self-judgment.
Very mindful. Yeah, self-aware.
Yeah, you successfully maintain your health and balance. Is what it is. So, okay, it's at the fifth level of consciousness. You identify with your physical environment at about 60% now. So what it's saying is you're starting to shift more toward not the physical environment, more towards the spiritual environment, like we were saying
earlier.
I thought
it meant that you were more coming out of yourself and becoming more in tune with your physical environment.
Exactly right, yes.
So
that's what
you need to hug trees to feel happiness now.
Yeah.
No, not quite.
No, I'm not really a tree hugger.
This is really a hippie type of episode.
It is. It's pseudoscience for sure. At the fifth level consciousness, stop living for other people and start living for yourself. You offer service based on your spirit. Most of our leisure time, you spend it meditating, praying, singing, composing. Really, like you were saying in the last episode, art and love. Stuff that really makes you conscious. Remember we talked about that?
What we think makes a human as opposed to an AI.
Yeah, exactly. So all these things are you know, all about that. It's what's making you conscious as you're climbing up the consciousness ladder. You know what I mean?
Got you.
Okay, so we're going to skip right through that to level 6. There wasn't very much more interesting.
It seems to me like this pineal gland releases quite a few different chemicals that can alter your consciousness. So the more your pineal gland is working, probably the higher level of consciousness you can reach.
Yeah, well, and that's the theory goes to say that's why the Buddhist monks and everything, you know, can meditate, levitate themselves off the ground. That's why they possess superhuman abilities, strengths, things that, you know, that one guy on TV can throw a needle through a quarter inch pane glass window, a needle.
Yeah, I watched that. I was skeptical.
Wasn't
of
that
it,
Bullseye so, from the Daredevil movie?
No, that was a Buddhist monk.
Well,
I actually watched
He'd been meditating a lot.
I watched a Buddhist monk fight an MMA fighter and he got punched in the face, literally, just this guy laid into him 10, 15, 20 haymakers in a row, and the guy just stood there and looked at him. Couldn't knock him out. Guy just stood there, took them, all of them.
And he wouldn't fight back because he's a pacifist.
He's a monk.
He's a monk.
No, I mean, he ended up kicking the guy's ass bad, but he didn't. He just stood there and looked at him like, yeah, go ahead, that's what you got. You know, 15, 20 haymakers in the row.
He can control his body enough.
On a separate but similar note, did you ever hear about the monks who can control their body temperature?
Yes.
I saw a guy, he was sitting out in the snow and they threw a wet blanket on him. He got himself so worked up, it was steaming off.
Steaming, yeah.
It's crazy that they can control their body.
And that was an old footage from, I believe, the early 60s.
Sure.
Yeah,
and that's a real thing, that you could actually regulate your own body.
Same thing, it's being able to control your, what do they call
heart
it?
Heart rate. I've seen that.
What do they call it whenever you can't control, like, you're like you have things you control, like...
Involuntary and voluntary?
Exactly. You can tap into your involuntary, you know, things like your heart rate.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
There's a word for it.
So they're saying that you can do that through the mind's eye, the pineal gland.
Exactly. Figuring out how to, you know, control the parts of your unconscious mind, you know, things like your...
Like
your
convincing the coroner that you're dead by slowing your heart down so much, and then you can escape
your... Well, I wasn't
going to
take it that far, but yeah.
Or surviving a very cold night in winter by slowing your heart rate down.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that all has to do with your consciousness and your pineal gland.
You're being able to control things that are otherwise subconscious.
Okay, so when you make the transition from the fifth level of consciousness to the sixth level, when all reality starts running parallel to your spiritual reality. So you're about 50-50 now. And obviously that makes sense because there's 10 levels and we're at six. So you're into the sixth level of consciousness when you put all your energies into spiritual development and physical realities derived from you. You start living a double life in the world, but not of it. In the world, but not of it. So you're in it, and you realize that, but you're not made up of this world.
I think
world.
We just passed my level, because that was a little over my head.
I think we just zoomed right past my consciousness level. So yeah, it's very spiritual. The sixth level of consciousness, you're bridging between spirituality and physical realities. You're a dual ambassador. They call it a double agent. Can you believe that? So half the time you're physically manifesting inspiration and you're interpreting spiritual signs the other half. You're a person of many masks, many societal roles and identities, but only one true higher self. You are love. You adapt to each one so that the spirit lives inside of you. At the sixth level, you identify at the right time in the right place.
Sounds like we're at a Grateful Dead concert.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love the Grateful Dead.
I've been to some of those people. When I meet a guy like that, when he shows up, he knows just how to act to make everyone around him happy and calm and peaceful. But then I've seen other guys that are level oneers that run around pissed off and drunk.
That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say it's those assholes who actually act like they're, you know, oh, yeah, the next level.
Oh, yeah.
But they're just totally full of shit.
Well, no, that or they're on a lot of psychedelic drugs.
Well, Everett, you're on level two. You can't keep up with it.
I guess so.
Yeah, maybe if you could shift your consciousness four or five, you'd understand some of this shit.
I guess so.
But no, I mean, it goes back to what you were saying, like DMT, and that's closely related psychedelically to...
The pineal gland?
No, I mean like DMT drug-wise is closely related to like psilocybin and LSD.
Oh, yeah. It's a very similar chemical compound as, you know,
so
mushrooms.
That lends a little bit of validity to what Big E's saying over there about how, you know, you go to those Grateful Dead shows and you see all the guys like the next level of they're talking about. They might actually believe that because they're on a very high dose of psychedelic drugs.
Right.
Which is, you know, said to...
cause all kinds of strange things.
Oh, yeah.
You will see everything you ever imagined light up in a giant tree in front of you for no reason.
Oh, yeah, man. Wow, that sounds cool.
Oh, no reason I'll get into aware that. Of.
Alex Stanley, you had a few personal experiences?
I've seen some things. But continue. Where are we at? Level 7?
We are at level 7, the 7th level of consciousness.
This has reminded me of the movie Lucy I just saw.
Oh,
it
yeah?
kept saying like 10%,
20%,
of her brain working.
Right?
20% well, you know, of her brain working.
It's actually really close to that because, you know, 70%, 7th level, you're identifying with your physical environment. You're starting to live more from your heart, mind, and spirit. You see the body and soul all simultaneously as a complete balanced human being. So, I mean, that kind of takes what from Lucy when she looked at that tree in the movie and she could look down and actually see the root structure right in the ground. This is saying that when you're at the 7th level of consciousness, you will see people's chakra, their aura. You will, you know, their actual, their vibes.
I just came up with a good example of this. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Oh, he's got the glow. That's right. You got the glow.
Leroy.
Damn, Leroy. That was a good,
it's a who's good the master?
Movie. It's a master Leroy. The 7th level of consciousness, you live from your spirit. You connect with people, animals, plants, and energies over vast distances and times. So this is saying that, you know, distance and time is not of any relativeness to you. You can connect with people across the country, across the world, across dimensions. So there's astral projections and astral, what do they call that?
Or maybe even your contact yourself in the past.
I mean,
if time is no option, you're your own grandfather.
Query.
You're your own grandfather.
Does extrasensory communication follow the speed of light rule? That is, if someone is more than...
That's more your department than mine, man.
Hey, I mean, this is all pseudoscience. I'm asking you guys, do you think like if I'm on Mars and you're in Alpha Centauri...
I don't think it follows that constraint at all with time, and I think it's instantaneous. And it's
outside of the
with
time
the force
space
operating.
There you go. It's outside of space time. It's
just like the force when Alderaan was exploded
and he felt it instantly.
Like a million voices cried out at once and were silenced.
Yeah, I think it's outside of
the
space time.
In fact, I think you probably hear the message before it's even sent. I think it's that deep.
You're getting quantum on us now.
You know, that reminds me of an experiment I heard about. This was a real experiment. People were trained to see a dot and push a button, right? And then they'd hear a noise. Oh, fuck, I'm going to screw this up so bad. But long story short, they changed up the stimuli, and people were claiming they saw the dot when it wasn't even there just because they were how trained they were. Their consciousness was trained so much.
Almost like Pavlov's dog.
So I'm not familiar with Pavlov's dog.
Well, he'd ring a bell and then give the dog a treat, and after a while he'd ring the bell and the dog would start drooling, but he wouldn't get a treat.
Exactly, very similar to that. It's like a program response.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, I read one about the rat that they gave methamphetamine to, and he wouldn't take the feeder bar. You know, he wouldn't hit the feeder bar anymore because he kept getting meth, so he'd hit the meth bar instead of the food pellet bar.
Yeah, he wouldn't eat no more.
Yeah, he just wanted meth all the time. That's, I mean, kind of the same.
Sorry about that. I'm going to shut up.
Well, there is one, what is it, a quantum theory where if you are visually observing, I believe it is a proton.
You're talking about the Heisenberg uncertainty principle?
There you are. If you're watching.
So what that says, yeah, the process of observing something fundamentally changes it. That means
quantum mechanics is exactly
right. You can't look at a particle, but the sheer act of observing something changes it. So, like, whenever you look at a subatomic particle, the photon that you had to use to bounce off of it to get the light off of it changes what you just saw.
It interacted with that particle and made it do something different than if you hadn't looked at it.
You don't see what happened. You see what happened before the proton hit it. So you can never be exactly certain. Yeah, something
quantum physics is pretty crazy.
I think that's why ESP works so well.
That's why they say that the you can never create something like the transporter in Star Trek, because they had something called the Heisenberg compensator.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which basically just gets around it, but you can never know exactly what state every subatomic particle in your body is. So you couldn't
just take a reading of it. Because if you were to look, it wouldn't be the same anymore.
Exactly.
So beam me up, Snotty. You're like in Spaceballs, your ass is going to be on the back.
Yeah.
You know, they asked one
of the writers. No more beaming. One of the writers or
Scotty beamed me twice last week.
They asked one of the prop guys, though, on Star Trek, how exactly does that Heisenberg compensator work? He replies, oh, very well, thank you.
Very well. Oh, so where were we at? We are going to transition from the seventh to the eighth level. Ah. Okay, so at the seventh level of consciousness, you live from your soul, knowing intuitively how the human race is evolving and taking actions to further help that along.
That sounds like zooming out and taking a larger look at the world as a whole.
Right. Well, like where we're at now, I'm feeling like you're at what would be like a Jesus or Christ consciousness level, because we're at level eight. It says the energies enter you and you enter them. Your thoughts and feelings become so strong that they transform every person that you come in contact with or wish to transform. When you walk into rooms, everyone instantly feels pure love, changes their feelings and beings. You're becoming pure energy within, and you transform others into pure energy.
I bet that's what was happening to Gandhi when he didn't need to eat ever again.
Ooh, he was transforming his...
Everybody around him was feeling the love from him, and he wasn't doing nothing but sitting there starving, you know, because he didn't need the food. He was living on pure energy.
Right, yeah, I could see that, because Gandhi is a spiritual leader, he's a spiritual advisor, as you know, in the world today. You know, a lot of people take what he says seriously. Okay, so we're at the ninth level now. The ninth level of consciousness, you identify with your physical environment at about 20%. You are becoming pure energy. The people you meet, you communicate with them, you improve their lives by raising their spiritual awareness. So you're actually raising other people's consciousness levels at this point, when you're at the ninth level.
When you reach the ninth level, you can actually help other people increase their consciousness.
Yeah, so like, you know, if you're at four, you got a guy helping you out, he's at nine.
You'd think that would snowball.
When you get to nine, you got to help
that
the fours out.
Could be dangerous.
You get enough people, like, you know, you get four or five people on the nine, just bringing everybody up.
Well, maybe that's where Jesus came in. He was bringing up everyone around him, and he got such a huge following, that some level oneer out in Rome ordered him to, you know.
Maybe that's the true.
We're reaching on this one.
The true, yeah, we are reaching. Well, that's what this episode is. That's the true reason for the human race. You know, maybe we can't all ascend or transcend until we reach a higher level of consciousness. Maybe that's what Jesus Christ was trying to do.
That goes back to. Oh, sorry, Alex. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say about early humans. Maybe before they became Homo sapiens, they had come across some psychedelic substance that could have increased their consciousness. Maybe before they were just stabbing at the rocks with sticks trying to figure shit out, and they ate some bad mushrooms. Before you know it, they
spoiled
had
some
wild ideas.
So before this, they're bumping uglies together just by mere chance to reproduce, and then they walk across some mushrooms. They eat the mushrooms. Psychedelic. They have a trip, and
then suddenly
all of a sudden
they know about fire.
They develop a consciousness, is
right,
what
you're
saying.
Well, or that they could come up with some great ideas.
Become self-aware.
The best artists of the last 40 years were tripped out of their mind when they came up with their best pieces of work.
Fair.
I mean, I can attest to that. You do get more creative on psychedelic substances. You get more creative. You think about stuff that you wouldn't normally think about.
So you're saying what changed us from being monkey-brained individuals to free-thinking individuals are
psychedelics.
Or psychedelics, possibly.
Well, that's a theory.
That's the one I like.
I like. You know what? I like to think that too. Is there any way I can get at a higher level of consciousness by eating more psychedelics?
I think what you like got a plateau, much, and once you go off that, then you're back down to level zero.
How many 10 strips do I got to eat to be a 10?
Well, you know the one guy, the one guy who's a glass of orange juice. Don't spill me, man.
Oh yeah.
Everybody knows that guy. You don't want to be him.
No, not at all. Okay, so back to the ninth level, which is where we're at. We're almost done with this level of consciousness. We're at the ninth level. You no longer see yourself as mind, heart, body, spirit, and soul because you're connected with the universe through love, the universal love. Excuse me. So you lead social movements. You start religions. You know, when you're at the ninth level, so I guess that would be considered like a, what do they call the prophets in your different religions?
Who was the guy who started Mormons?
Joseph Smith.
Hubbard? Ron L. Hubbard.
Ron L.
No,
Hubbard.
That's not Mormon.
Joseph Smith
that's
is
Scientology.
Oh, Ron L. Hubbard was Scientology, okay. Yeah.
You bastards, you're both going against me and you're both wrong.
You're both wrong. So you raise people's energy levels constantly. What were we just talking about there? Oh, yeah, so a prophet, a seer, a magician, a fortune teller. So you're creating religions.
Well, that could be scary, like Jonestown, Kool-Aid style.
You're Gandhis.
Oh, yes. The ninth level of consciousness, you have millions of children. And I'm guiding my fingers up, quote unquote. I'm
sure, followers.
Childrening this. Yeah, followers.
Sounds like you're going to start a cult.
Well, I mean, yeah, it kind of does.
Which is really a whole other episode.
Thousands of spiritual partners you have inspired with pure love. You spread joy, love, peace everywhere you go, creating peaceful communities wherever you go and ending war. But, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because I think if you're at the ninth level consciousness, you could just say no more war, and there'd be no more war.
Every
you
time
have
I
to
spread my love onto someone, it cost me $50. So.
And 3 months in the clink.
Yeah, and a shot.
Hell, and the list you're on now.
Every that's time, a different list.
And every time you move, you have to go door to door to let people know your neighborhood.
As long as it's consensual, I think you're all right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the last one, the highest level of consciousness, the 10th level.
Total spiritual enlightenment.
Total spiritual enlightenment. When you dream, people's lives change. When you talk, people act. And when you write, the world changes. So your spirit absorbs so much that you feel and act through others. You can perform seemingly amazing feats of physical and mental activities because love makes you superhuman. So I'm not too with the love part of this.
I think that's Chris Angel mind freaking is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you move and everyone moves with you. You accelerate your own evolution once you're at the 10th level. So I guess
that's Lucy there.
That's remember basically, that? I mean, transcending because that's what she did at the end of that movie. She ascended or transcended, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you communicate with all the beings, all energies, all levels of consciousness simultaneously and in pure form. Wow, that's kind of crazy.
That's something wild to think about.
That is. So that means it, you know, and that right there, that's like the God or Jesus part of it right there. So you can communicate with, you know, and that goes back to like he can see everybody at all times.
It's like the beings from all knowing. Cocoon?
Cocoon, yeah.
It's like those beings from Cocoon.
I'm not familiar.
It was like an 80s porn.
It was not a porn.
Oh, you think the Human Centipede?
God, that movie was terrible.
Steve Gutenberg, I mean, come on.
Okay, at the 10th level, you are not only a constant enhanced version of yourself, you enhance other people with your mind.
I thought 9 was the last level.
No, 10, where there's 10 levels. You project so much energy that the foolish become wise. I need to find a 10th level.
And we need a 10th level.
Right,
up in
we
here
need a
bad
10th level up in here.
Fuck that. I want to
the
crank
poor
it up to
feel
11.
Rich, the hungry feel full inside. Could crank it up to 11, huh?
My amp says 11. What?
You share your love with all sentient beings on earth, from those in poverty to those rich, powerful, you know, peons, everyone. So
I sure wish
sharing
someone like this existed, honestly.
Right, it would be. It's a very cool concept.
Well, the last one, they had murdered Princess Diana. She was on her way well up there until, who was it, the paparazzi? No, Illuminati
the
had her killed.
Well, that's what they were running from is what Alex is getting at.
They were in England. They're very proper over
they
there.
They were in France.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, whenever they died.
Wales.
My mistake. All I know is she
are
died.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. But I know she was the Princess of Wales.
Oh, God. If you don't know where Princess Diana died, we got to find this out.
All right. We're taking a small 2-minute intermission on Nick of Time right here to find out where Princess Diana died. God damn, we're terrible.
Well, you never know where these conversations are going to lead.
Yeah.
But I do believe she was well on her way to another level of consciousness because she was affecting so many people at that time. It was like a
Paris, France.
Paris, France. Right. So he was right.
I remember George Clooney was pissed. I do remember that.
Was he?
Dude, I remember the day you were with me. I remember the day exactly when we heard Princess Diana died.
When?
We were on our way up to hang out on the river with Dad and Rochelle and all their kids.
Really?
Yeah, I remember hearing about it in a newspaper.
Wow, that's crazy.
Telegraph.
So back again, once you reach the 10th level of consciousness, you stay connected with your physical environment, but you're also 100% connected with the spiritual environment as well.
You are the one, basically.
Yeah, you are you're the Neo. One. Oh. You focus on completing your mission because you're aware that you have a spiritual mission here on Earth. And then after your mission's completed, you transcend. That if that doesn't sound
that
like
Jesus, exactly
that
like,
doesn't sound like Jesus Christ, I don't know what does.
I was going to say it sounds exactly like Neo.
Neo, it's it what Neo
whenever he
and
finishes
Jesus.
His job, he gets taken off. He was the Messiah, man.
Right. It said, so you are aware of your spiritual mission here on Earth. You focus on completing your mission and then transcending. So you complete your soul's purpose for being in physical form. You confront a choice, leave Earth or stay. If you decide to leave Earth, you enter the first level of cosmic being. If you decide Lord. To stay, you guide spirits. Thanks to the money, the body, Jesus Christ, my tongue. Thanks to the body, the mind, soul, and spirit for this article. So what do you guys think about the consciousness levels? That was kind of crazy, wasn't it?
That's pretty nuts, yeah. I mean,
it's funny that someone has thought all this out. I mean, I really, like you were saying, I really hoped all that would be true. That would be neat as hell to do.
I like it. I think the first five or six levels seem to really hit the nail on the head. I mean, the other ones, they're kind of reaching for them, but I could see where they would come up with
I thought the 10th level was spot on. Yeah. But like you were saying, the earlier levels were more, they made a lot more sense. But the 10th level.
More possible?
Yeah.
Basic.
Well, I mean, this episode really isn't about possibility.
That's fair. Well, let me throw you on some science, I think, behind
okay,
this.
Okay, well, yeah, let's hear it.
This is my thoughts behind mind control and consciousness. So your mind is made up of electrical impulses, right?
Yes, sir.
And for everything that has an electrical impulse, there's an electrical field. And for everything that's electrical, it can be manipulated by another outside electrical field.
Oh, like whenever you hold a magnet to somebody's head and they can't move or talk right? You've seen that?
No, but that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Wow.
They've done tests where they put a magnetic helmet over somebody and then they can't.
Yeah, I've seen like with MRIs, functions. Like if you get hit with a hard enough, you know, magnetic pulse, it can screw up your brain. So my thought is this, if you can figure out a way to align a electromagnetic field, you should be able to plant thoughts in someone. To get it at the right frequency, because if you can figure out more how the brain works, like how neurons fire, what neurons cause
what.
Like
a total mapping of it.
And if you could do that, then theoretically you could come up with an electromagnetic pulse. You know, you could flicker a pulse to give somebody a thought.
Right, and that's what people are doing with this, the frequencies, you know, where they're trying to decalcify their
exactly.
pineal gland. They're trying to come up with a way to expand their consciousness, to move these levels up.
Well, I think more of them, I think it sounded exactly like a cleaning rather than like using it to implant thoughts, but.
Well, if they could implant thoughts to you, you probably wouldn't even know they were implanted.
You
they would
could
just
have
be
no clue.
Like right, well, how would one know that that thoughts were implanted in your head? You'd have no idea. Well, I mean, you'd think they're original.
Exactly my point. You would think they're your thoughts. It's almost hypnosis, but and, coming at you from another way.
And I don't know right. if, you know what
it's
is
like
it?
Mind rape.
NOAA, they have the large satellite array that goes into the upper ionosphere.
Sure, sure. The National Oceanographic and Aeronautics or something like that. What
yeah,
is it?
NOAA.
Anyway, they've been known to blast all kinds of strange sound frequencies up into the higher atmospheres, and who knows what the kind of focused frequencies they could, you know, direct into someone. Maybe they are already implanting thoughts into people in certain situations. I'm sure Trump doesn't really want to be president, but somebody gave him the idea.
Right, somebody said, hey, maybe.
I bet Trump does want to be president.
Oh, God, the publicity
you're pushing
there.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go with Everett on that one. That fucker does want to be president.
Yeah.
Hey, he might be the best for the job. Not in my opinion, but he might be.
Mm. I like he's going to shake shit up anyway.
Yeah, he'll definitely shake shit.
Status quo is not for me.
So let's get our final thoughts on the pineal gland and the overall oppression of the human consciousness. What do you guys think?
Well, my thoughts is I don't know how much the pineal gland has to do with it, but I do think there's way more to the consciousness than we know.
Oh,
there's
gosh,
just,
yeah.
There's just way more. There's more science to it than we get.
Well, the pineal gland is
so they say.
The consciousness, yes, so they say, is supposed to derive
like you said, it's
from the pineal gland.
So there's no real science behind it.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know. I think there's way more to it than we actually know.
I think that there is real science behind it, but it is so powerful they won't let it out. They know how to control the
conspiracy.
Ooh, I like the way you
that folks
the Illuminati wants to keep the light. They don't want it to bring it to the other.
Right, because if we had fully functioning pineal glands, that's too much power for the normal average
for too many people
human being to hold. Yeah, and right, like you're saying, if we had 7 billion people that could just transcend at any time or affect other people's thoughts and basically do what they want, it's too much power. It's too liberating for them.
Too much chaos.
It doesn't fit the agenda. You know, they can't have people that are powerful like that. The powers that be, they're the power. They don't want other people having power.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? So, and I like what you said, though, Everett, about how there is a lot more to this. There's so much shit that we didn't even touch on with consciousness and the pineal gland. This easily could have been a 4-hour episode.
Almost everything about the consciousness is just speculation and theory at this point. There's no real solid scientific
We have no clue what the spark of life is.
That is released.
We have no clue.
We have no clue what causes us to be self-aware. And when I say us, I mean human beings. We don't know why we are self-aware. We don't know why we have a consciousness.
It's a very existential crisis. I mean, you don't know why we exist at all. Fuck consciousness. I mean, before consciousness, why do we exist at all even before that?
Well, right? Yeah, I agree. Well,
consciousness or not, I mean, it's all the same question.
We can be awful selfish thinking we're the only ones that can think like that, because who knows what dolphins or whales or any of these other really intelligent creatures.
And thanks for all the fish.
Here's something interesting. You need to get with somebody that's on the 10th level of consciousness and ask them about aliens.
If we have anyone listening on the 10th level, give us a
If we have
email.
Any 10th level listeners,
just
is there
send
any
10th it
level
to
listeners
me
out there?
Straight to my brain.
Yeah, you don't even have
stuff.
To email it. If you're 10th level, you can just go ahead and put that shit in my head.
Hold on, they're probably listening now.
Oh, you got something incoming? He's got his hands on his temple. Something's incoming. Uh-oh.
Oh, no, but my left side's throbbing. I
feel Nick of Time podcast.com.
Yeah. All right, guys. I guess we'll wrap this up. I actually like this episode. This was a lot of fun because it wasn't our normal, facts, this and that. I liked it because it wasn't so much science. You know what I mean? There was more speculation to it. Left it open and mystery and all that. Confusing.
I'm sure we're going to probably take a little bit of a...
Oh, yeah, we're going to take some hell over this one. That's all right. Tell us what you guys think.
I want to know what they think about it. I want to know if they have any specific ideas on this.
Oh, you know what we should do real quick before we get out of here? I want to look at the poll.
Let's talk about our poll.
We had an Armageddon show last week.
And how you did it last week?
We put a poll up to see what is your favorite Armageddon. We took votes.
We had a lot of votes,
I think,
honestly.
We came up with what? Pandemic was
Yeah, we were scared to shit out of Pandemic.
That's what ended up winning with 8 votes. Number 2 was Zombies.
Zombies won with 7.
Well, it is just your favorite apocalypse, not the most likely.
Biological war and economic collapse was our number 2. And then we had a lot of people think Super Volcano was a possibility at number 3. And then we had, everybody, the other
only one that actually got 0 votes was the Rapture.
The Rapture.
So that's hilarious. That's only because it happened already and they're gone.
Yeah, so that's why no one voted for it.
That is as of...
Here's a Nick of Time rewind. 30th. Here's a Nick of Time rewind. Last week we had a revelation here on Nick of Time while doing our... Doomsday Scenario show.
Which was great.
Yeah, which was by far my favorite episode we've done so far. We had a revelation here that the Rapture has already happened.
And we just missed it.
And everyone didn't notice because everyone left in the world is just a bunch of assholes. So, I mean, let us know what you think about that.
When the Rapture happened, it took like a dozen people.
There was 10 good people on this earth.
I thought there was a guy at the microwave behind me at 7-Eleven cooking a burrito. I turned around, there was just a burrito.
He was one of them.
God microwave a burrito so hot he himself couldn't eat it?
Well, that's a question for another time.
Yeah. Is there a temperature hot enough to burn God's tongue? If so, that's what he wants his pizza rolls at.
He's infallible, sirs.
All right, guys, remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick of Time or on Twitter at Nick of Time Show. Also, please remember to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean or your favorite podcast outlet. If you like the show, please leave us a 5-star rating or whatever you feel we deserve. But more importantly than that, we would love some feedback from you guys. We want to know what you think about this episode.
Hit us on Facebook. Again, send us messages. Leave us comments.
Yeah, we have an official Facebook page. We're on Twitter.
And it's us that sees it.
You can email us. Drop us an email at info@nickoftimepodcast.com. So if you got any questions, suggestions, comments,
a
new topic, let us know. All right, well, for Alex, Biggie, and Eric, this has been Nick of Time, a Lineup Media Group production. Have a good week.
Subscribe.
Please, wake up.
This has been Nick of Time, a Lineup Media Group production. Access all our podcasts now at lineupmediagroup.com.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
I'm mad as hell! I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell and I'm not gonna take it anymore!
I'm not gonna take it anymore!